Amen. Well, we look in here in 1 Kings chapter 9 in this message, and I said we're gonna teach on something that can't be taught, and that thing that cannot be taught specifically is integrity. Integrity of heart specifically is something that cannot be taught. The closer you get to Jesus, the closer your walk is with the Lord, the more integrity you'll have. It's the same thing as the Holy Spirit. You can't teach somebody the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not the way it is. It's got to be birthed. And integrity of heart is the same way. And one of the things that we see in our church world today is compromise, backslide. You can go down the list of all of that kind of thing. And it's painfully obvious to see the downgrade of church. I'm a firm believer that as goes the pulpit, so goes the nation. And I believe in this hour, God is raising up men in pulpits to preach the truth, and God is restoring order into the church. God is restoring that spiritual vision. But nonetheless, there's a downgrade that we see everywhere. You can see it in secular society. You can see it in the church world too. It's a sad thing, but in this hour, it is more crucial than ever that you get your heart to where you're striving to live in integrity with God. Because Peter tells us that judgment starts with the house of God. We always want to complain about how rotten people are in the secular world. But God begins judging in the church house. Whenever society was breaking down, what did God tell Isaiah? He said, why is there no intercessor? He wondered why there was no intercessor. He didn't wonder why the world was acting like the world. He was wondering why the church was asleep. You see the difference? I mean, it's one thing to say, why is the world so rotten? Why are they always drunk? Why are they always sexually immoral? Why are they always stealing? Why are they always lying? Why are they always acting like the world? Because they are. But when is the church going to rise up and do what the church is supposed to do? Intercede. Get a burden for hurting souls. Go out into the highways and the byways and share the gospel. Share the light to those that are in dark places. See, we get comfortable in the church world. We get in our routine that, you know, well, I'm going here, it's clean, it's cut, it's dry. I put in my time. Now leave me alone, brother. But God wants us to, and what I'm getting at in this integrity, it is a clean heart, but the word integrity, it's simply a definition that's simple to understand is whole. Whole. It's that you don't just get church-minded when you're at church, but you live that as a worshiper all the hours of the day. That if somebody asks you to worship or asks you to pray, you don't have to be like, hang on, I got to get my mind right. That means that you're living a duplicitous life. You have duplicity of heart. You have a double heart, and that double heart comes from a double mind. And we know that kind of person's unstable, and yeah, not just a few, but all their ways. But this integrity that we're looking at is someone whose heart is after God, not just for an hour a weekend. And not just for when the bottom falls out and the boat's beginning to sink, but they begin to love God and desire to worship Him all the time. Amen? Where there's no change. It's just who you are. You just burn for God. You just want to see God move. You just in that place of the Spirit, and God never wants you to leave there. God wants you to have integrity of heart in all that you do. Integrity is that wholeness, that soundness in your spiritual life. And sometimes, you know, we kind of isolate our spiritual life, or we'll segregate it from different aspects of our life. We're like, oh, I got to go to work. You know, I got to put on my work hat. Instead of staying in that place of walking in the liberty and the freedom that God has for you, walking in the power of the Spirit out in the world is what God's called you to do. Bringing a tract or standing on a street corner preaching is bringing the gospel to those that are in dark places. But if you'll begin to just simply walk in the Spirit in your work environment or in your homes or in City Hall or wherever you go, if you'll just begin to walk in the power of the Spirit in those places all the time where there's no duplicity of heart, you'll begin to see God use you in ways you never thought possible. It begins in the heart. It begins with integrity of heart. And one of the things that we see here, this is Solomon, how many of you know that David didn't get to build the temple for God? His hands were too bloody. Amen. He had done ruins too many paths. But God allowed Solomon to build it. But how many of you know that just because you build a place don't mean God's going to inhabit it?
No, that's right. Amen.
Could have Ichabod written above the door.
Amen.
The glory departed. But one of the things that happened is whenever they built the temple, they prayed, they consecrated, they fasted, they worshiped, they asked God, they invited the presence of God to move in that place. They didn't just build the place and just begin to work. They worshiped and they adored God and they asked God to move in a powerful way. And look what the Lord says here in verse number 3. He said, the Lord said unto him, he's talking to Solomon, he said, the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. What did God do? God inhabited it. God hallowed it. Wherever God is hallowed ground. Hello? And some of y'all need to make that connection between Solomon building this earthly temple and God making you the temple of the Holy Ghost. Some of you need to make that connection. And God said, wherever I am is hallowed ground. And if you're a child of God and the Spirit of God lives within you, you are hallowed ground unto God. Just like Moses was commanded to take off his shoes at the burning bush, if the Holy Spirit lives inside you, you've got something greater than a burning bush.
Amen.
You've got the presence of God in you. You've got the Holy Ghost in you. And he said, where I am, I hallowed it. I heard your prayer and I hallowed that place. Meaning that now this is on the front side of the cross, right? He said, I heard your prayer. You prayed. You asked. You want me to be there? I'm there. I'm there. Now notice what he says in verse number 4. He said, and if that's conditional. Some of, you know, you get into, certain teachings and, you know, but this is a condition. Every condition is an if then. If you do this, God will do that. Look what he says. If thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. You know that this integrity that he's talking about here, this integrity will cause you to walk differently than the world does. And it, just a simple way to look at it, integrity of heart goes against the grain of the world. Integrity of heart goes against the grain of the world because what it is you're living in flow or in the same way as God. This is what the definition of repentance is where you're going your way, and when you repent, you decide to go God's way. And it, having integrity of heart means staying in that place, going the way God goes in every area of your life. That's what integrity of heart is. This can't be taught. You can fake it, but only our own hearts know whether we have integrity with God in every area. Some of us can go to a church and everybody else be worshiping and in our minds be in the gutter. Some of us can go into situations and we can think things that we certainly wouldn't want to be out loud. And so we know, Lord, I need you to help me in this area because I need integrity of heart. And nobody's perfect, but it's that place in the heart where you know you need God at. And it's a desire to be clean. It's a desire to live right before God. This is what the old Hebrews did when they worshiped. They worshiped with their palms up in the air. They worshiped like that because they were exposing themselves to God. They were saying, I'm not hiding anything from you. I'm not coming close-fisted hiding anything. But it's also a place of weakness and exposure, and they would worship with those palms open, saying, here's all of me. I come just as I am, without one plea. This is me. I'm not hiding anything. I'm going to be honest with you, God. I just want you, and whatever's wrong in me, Lord, I need you to touch it. I need your cleansing power in my life. I need that sweet Spirit of God to just come in and help me out, Lord. I need the cleansing power. I need to be cleansed by the blood. And that integrity of heart is a desire to stay right with God. Integrity of heart doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you have a desire to stay right with God. And that can't be taught. Amen. That's a desire that's birthed. And if you will begin to walk in that, God will help you. God will strengthen you. God will lift those burdens, that heaviness off of you. But that desire has to begin with you. This is what he told Solomon here. He said, if you'll walk like your dad did, now don't make the left turns like your dad did, but what was it about King David's life that God was telling Solomon about? The integrity of heart is, that was something David had. Yeah, I mean, he messed up. I know you wouldn't like your sins to be in the Bible for everybody to read. Day after day, hour after hour, reading about all your mess ups. But look at his life. And yet, in the mess ups that King David had, he had a desire to get right with God. When the man of God, which we need these people like that with the backbone, when the man of God, when Nathan said, David, thou art the man. Thou art the man, David. David didn't get prideful. He didn't say, you know, get out of here with all that. You know, stop preaching hard. He didn't get all. He said, you're right. It broke him. Why? Because he had integrity of heart. He may have messed up, but he had a desire to be right with God. And that's what God was telling Solomon. He said, if you get that kind of heart like your dad had, if you'll get that kind of heart and keep it, if you'll do that, then I will keep your family on this throne. How many of us know that Solomon didn't do it? He's just like, you know, and life got in the way. If he'd be like, life got in the way. No. Now, it wasn't just life got in the way. It was because he began to love other things more than God. That's what got in the way. And in the same aspect, in our own lives, we will begin to go after people, places, or things, or situations, or circumstances, and we'll leave our first love. You know, the devil doesn't mind if you love God as long as he's not your first love. I mean, the whole reason he got kicked out of heaven, it wasn't because he didn't want God to be dethroned. He just wanted to be on the throne like God. He said, I want to be as the Most High. And that got him sent down like lightning. But it was just that I want to be exalted too. And that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to exalt people or places or jobs or situations or whatever it may be. Just a little bit. You can just bring the Lord down to peg number 2 or 1B or 1C. Just let that one thing get up there. And what that does is it robs you of integrity of heart. It robs you of integrity of heart. And so that's what happened to Solomon. That's what happened to him. It wasn't that he stopped loving God. He just began to love other things. And you can look at that throughout his life. He began to worship other gods. It's not that he stopped going to church. He still worshiped God according to the commandments. According to the Levitical law, it still went on. It's just that he began to worship the gods of his girlfriends. He began to go after other things in addition to going after God. God began to be plan 1B or 1C and go on down the line. But this desire can't be taught, right? Let's look at David's life. Look at that in Psalm 19. Let's look at what he, look over here at Psalm 19. We're going to read a couple of verses here, beginning in verse number 9 of Psalm 19. You know, the Lord is telling Solomon here, you need integrity. Isn't it amazing, though, that God didn't tell Solomon, you know why I'm going to do this for you? Because you know so much. He didn't say, Solomon, I'm going to keep your family on the throne forever because you know more than everybody else. He didn't say that. He didn't say because of your lineage, because of your family, because of your bloodline. No, because of your dad's heart. And if you'll keep the same heart. You see, that integrity of heart transcends all earthly ties. And the Apostle John, he kind of keyed in on that in John chapter 1 when he's talking about how we're saved. It's not by blood. It's not by man's will. It's just by the Spirit of God. It's not by what you bring to the table. It's by the Spirit of God. God don't save you because you're pretty. And he don't save you because you're smart. Well, he didn't move in Solomon's life because he was pretty or smart. God made Solomon smart. The reason God used him as he did is when his heart was right. And some of us, our walk with God is frustrating us. And it's not working because our hearts aren't fully his. And in those seasons, and I want you to get this, in those seasons of your life where God is all that you love, you remember those times. You remember those times when God was your all in your all. And that's whenever, you know, people could, you know, take all your money. They could tell you your hair's ugly. They could tell you that your shoes are ruined or whatever. They could make fun of you. They could take your parking spot at church. They could sit in your pew. They could do this. They could do that. The music may not be the way you like it. The people may not shake your hand the way you like it. They may not call you when you want them to call. All that kind of stuff could go on. But you know, when your heart is fully vested in God, it's just like water on the duck's back. It just rolls off. Why? Because you got something greater on your heart. It's when that greater is not there that we begin to elevate those things. We begin to say, well, if they really like me, they'd call me. Well, if they really like me, they would appreciate me more. They would show me more. They would make me a cake. Sometimes, you know, we can get sideways about silly things when we've elevated the wrong things in our lives. That's what God wanted Solomon to do. He was just saying, Solomon, if you will keep your heart right, I'll move in your life. Look what he's talking about David. Look at what he says in verse number 9. He says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The fear of the Lord's clean. If you fear God more than you fear man or what man can do to you, God will keep you where you need to be. More to be desired are they than gold. This is the righteous righteousness and truth. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Listen to this. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. You see the desire of his heart? It's like, Lord, there's things in me that I don't even know about. How many of you know sometimes you wake up and you know, it's like, I heard one pastor say, it's not like this, but he said, you know, sometimes I wake up and I feel like, am I even saved? Maybe, you know, you wake up and you're like, what's going on? And you have to be reminded, right? You just say, you know what? Lord, anything that I've done, Lord, please show me and forgive me. And that's what he's saying, cleanse thou me of these secret faults, these things that maybe I'm not even aware of that I'm doing. Maybe that I'm not even aware of. Maybe I'm holding on to things. Maybe I'm resentful about something. Maybe I'm not truly letting go. Whatever it is, Lord, those secret things that only you can see, because I evidently can't see it, Lord. Why would you pray that? Why would you pray that? Because you had integrity of heart. Again, this can't be taught. If you desired your heart to be in line with God, you would all the time be telling the Lord, Lord, if there's anything in me, God, get it out. If there's anything that's not of you, get it out. Any false step, any false premise, any wrong thoughts, any wrong motives, God, whatever it is, even if something I can't see, Lord, I don't want it. That's integrity of heart. That's a desire to be clean in God's eyes. Can't be taught. Now, you can't clean yourself either. You have to have the blood of the Lamb to do that. Go over to 1 John 1:9, right? Confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to what? Forgive us and cleanse us of all our iniquities. We are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. But the desire to want to be clean cannot be taught. Cannot be taught. Look what let's continue these next two verses. He said, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Listen to this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Not only my words, but even my thoughts, Lord. You know, sometimes, I work in construction sometimes, and, you know, guys will be like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that, preacher. And I said, you can't help it. You can't help. If your heart's not right, you can't help what comes out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you can't help it. If your heart's not right, you can't help it. Can you imagine every word that you say being acceptable to God? How many times we get frustrated with folks and we're like, I didn't mean to say that. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. But how many of us would do us good if we prayed like David prayed right here? I said, Lord, just, you know, as I begin my day, Lord, let my words be acceptable to you. Everything I say, let it point people to you. Let it build people up to you. Let it bring a convicting power of the Spirit in people's lives that aren't right with you. Help it encourage people that are loving you. But let all my words be acceptable in your eyes, God. And not only that, but taking it a step further, so that you're not only saying the right words, but you mean it. Amen. That's where the meditation of the heart. That's how many of you know sometimes you can tell somebody, oh, that looks good. And in your mind, you're going, it don't look good. Oh, I like what you did with that. And the whole time you're going, I'd never do that. Right? That's like that old saying in the South. They say, bless your heart. Well, bless your heart. Well, you don't mean that. You don't mean that. You're just saying, You know, you're placing some, whoa, I'm glad I'm not you. Bless your heart. But you see what he's saying is not only the words, because some of us have perfected, you know what, I better watch what I say so people don't think bad about me. But what about God? Because God sees your thoughts just as much as your words. And sometimes we're like, we put on that church front. You know what? I'm at church. I better talk right. What about God? You think the people at church are going to judge you on Judgment Day? It's going to be Jehovah God. And he not only sees your words, he sees the thoughts, the meditation of our hearts. And that's what will begin to get that fire going about, Lord, I don't want those kind of thoughts. I want to have a clean heart. I want to have integrity in this thing. And we see these prayers like David prayed is, Lord, let my words and my meditations of my heart. You see, that can't be taught. Now, the words here, if you look at it from like the Pharisee kind of level, they had the words down. They knew the words. If you asked a Pharisee to pray in the market, you know what they would do? They would be like, give me a microphone. If it was today, they'd be like, turn on Facebook Live. If you know what I'm saying? You know that? There are people like that. You tell them to pray, they kick it in a whole nother Pharisee gear. They start throwing out, $5 words and flinging them together. It's kind of like, how people paint and they just throw stuff on the canvas. They throw it on the canvas. That's how they do. They just grab all the $5 words they know and they throw it on the canvas. And then we say, bless their heart. Bless their heart. But you know what? God's not impressed by the words. God's looking at the meditation of the heart. God's looking at the meditation of the heart. Some of us, there's the fact of the matter, some of us have perfected the $5 word part. I'm around church folks, I better have the church talk. But once I'm around my buddies at, whatever place we go to on Friday night, that's when I let it out. God sees that. That's a duplicitous heart. And this is one of the ways that we know we really need God. We really need God. When God used Solomon, it wasn't because of any other reason, but at the beginning, he had a clean heart. At the beginning, he had a clean heart. When God came to Solomon and he said, ask me anything, and Solomon said, Lord, I just want to be wise so that I don't mislead your people. That touched God's heart. That touched God's heart. Solomon started out right. It's just like our lives. Sometimes God moves miraculously in our lives. And we get to what we call a plateau. And Solomon did the same thing. And it was in that moment he began to shift the love of his heart from God to other things. It wasn't that he no longer loved God. God just took a back burner to the gods of the girls that he loved. His heart began to get duplicitous once he hit a plateau. And some people, some people are like that. I remember, one pastor that I talked to, he said, I don't pray for anybody to get jobs anymore. I said, why don't you pray for people to get jobs? He said, they will come to church and they will religiously come to service. I mean, they won't miss a Sunday school, a prayer meeting. They won't miss nothing. And they'll just be asking, Lord, y'all pray for me to get a job. Pray for me to get a job. I want the Lord to help me get back on my feet. Jailhouse religion. I just want the Lord to help me get back on my feet. And the Lord moves. The Lord gives them a job. The Lord gives them a family. The Lord says, and then what happens? Hey, brother, we haven't seen you in a few weeks. What's going on? Oh, I've been working so much, and it's a weekend. I just got to, go out and catch some fish and relax and unwind a little bit. Well, I still love God. I mean, and I'll mail in a check. Don't worry, brother. Well, I'm not calling for your money. We don't even pass the offering plate. I don't care about that. I want to know where your heart is. I want to know why you're not loving God like you should. Oh, I still love God. I'm just busy, and I'm just trying to unwind on the weekends. And that pastor, he said, that's why I don't pray for people to get jobs no more. Because it happens. But sometimes we want God, but then when we hit that plateau of something we really want, we just let God go to the back burner. Amen. That side burner. We let other things get that front burner. That front burner's got our attention. Now that we got our legs under us, now that God's got our legs under us, we're going to put him on the side. Well, this kind of just clears that out of the way. If you'll pray this over your life, Lord, let my words, right, my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, God. Lord, let me, God, just even the words I say, how I use my voice. Lord's given you your voice. The Lord's given you a tongue and breath and teeth. God's given you that. And God expects you to use it in redemptive purposes. Yes. To speak into people's lives word of life. To tell them that God is the answer. That Jesus is still alive. And that God can still move mountains. That he hadn't gone out of the mountain moving business. He didn't sell out. He's still in business. And sometimes we need to get to that point. And then also remember, it's also the meditation of the heart. And again, that can't be taught. It's something that definitely cannot be taught. This, when you live with integrity of the heart, like I said earlier, you're going to go against the grain. I want you to think about this. You know that some of the most faithful and the most integrity-filled steps that you'll ever take will also be the most loneliest steps. Because as you begin to walk in integrity, you're going to go in an opposite direction as most folks. God will purpose things in your heart that don't make sense naturally. And that walk of integrity will take you against the grain. It'll take you against the flow of most folks. You'll be going down roads that most people don't go down. You look at the Bible, look at the prophets of God. They lived lonely lives a lot of times, but God never left them. People did. People did because they can't keep up with that. But God's hand is on his people that have integrity of heart. You look at John the Baptist's life. He ate, locusts, and, he wore the camel's hair, and he lived by himself. Well, look what happened to him. He had so much integrity of heart, he told the king, you shouldn't be having that woman. And he didn't back down. He didn't say, you know what? Okay, I'm sorry. Y'all are already married, He didn't say it. They was already married, but he said it still wasn't right. You're unequally yoked. It's still not right. You shouldn't be having her. Y'all need to separate. As I said before, that's John the Baptist told them they needed to unscramble the eggs. Because I've heard somebody say that before. They're like, well, the eggs are already scrambled up. You can't unscramble them. Well, evidently, as Jesus said, the greatest prophet of all time said you can. He said, you ought not have Herodias. And it cost him his head. Think about this. How many other prophets, how many other people of God were there in that day? How many other people were there in that day? And only John the Baptist had his head chopped off. Because only John the Baptist had that integrity of heart to come against it. It caused him to walk a lonely road. He didn't get roses thrown at him when he was saying that. He got an axe thrown at his neck for saying that. It was a lonely walk. And yet, why did he do it? Did he do it for the money? Did he do it for the $63 million jet so he can go to, you know, mission trips? Did he do it so he can write a book and get the royalties? Did he do it so he can start a conference? Why did he do it? Because he had a burning desire in his heart that was integrity of heart. He was walking with God. He wanted his heart to be going in the same way that God's heart was. And if you do that, if you tie your heart to God like that, you'll be going down paths the same way. You'll be going against the grain of culture. And sad to say, you'll be going against the grain of the church world a lot of times. Hopefully that's going to change this year. We're going to pray for that. Hopefully that's going to change this year. But the sad reality is, the more you unite your heart to God and walk according to his purpose, the more you're going to go against the grain of others. But I want you to get that some of our most, and so you can't judge, because sometimes the most faithful steps you take will be alone. It's not popular. It's not popular. It'll cost you to keep your heart right with God. Are you willing to pay the price? Be like, well, Brother Kenny, what's it going to cost me? I don't know. That's between you and God. It's going to cost you all. I like how old Brother Leonard Ravenhill said. He said, he taught a message one time to ministers. He said, others may, but you may not. They said, what do you mean? Whatever. Others might be able to go out, you know, watch a ball game. You may not. You have to keep your heart right with God and allow God to tell you. Others might be able to go eat at that restaurant. Others might be able to go watch a football game. Others might be able to go do this, but you may not. Well, how do I know? Well, ask the Lord. Don't you ask the Lord to purify your thoughts and what you do and your words and the meditation of your heart? It's called walking with the Lord, having that integrity of heart, that we're not duplicious in the way that we live before God, but we live with a whole heart, allowing God to use us as he wills. That's what he wanted to do to Solomon. He just wanted your heart, Solomon. That was too much for Solomon. If God would have asked Solomon to sacrifice 5,000 lambs a year, he would have done it. Never missed a beat, and his family would have reigned on the throne forever. There'd have been no split between the kingdom. But it wasn't 5,000 lambs or 5,000 rams. It wasn't heifers. It wasn't anything like that that God wanted. God just simply wanted Solomon's heart. And that proved to be too much. And truth be known, if we were put on that scale, it would probably be too much for us too. He says, Solomon, I want your heart. I'm not impressed by your gifts. I'm not impressed by the sacrifices. I want you. I want you. And that proved to be too much. Proved to be too much. But whenever you give your heart to the Lord, it'll often lead you to be in opposition to those around you, won't it? Leads you to be in opposition to those around you. One of the things that we see throughout the Bible is men and women that have integrity. All throughout. Now, I'll just share with you about Daniel real quick. Daniel, if you go over to Daniel chapter 1, one of the things that you see is whenever he was taken into Babylon, it says that he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. Was there anything written that said, when you go to Babylon, don't eat the food? There was nothing written. There was no law that told him not to eat meat. There was wasn't that? What was it? Something stirred in his heart. Daniel got stirred up in his heart, And evidently the Spirit of God rose up within him and told him if he ate that food, it would defile his walk with God. He, in other words, he had an intimate relationship with God, and God was able to speak into his life and say, don't do that. Don't do that. And Daniel would rather be made fun of. He would rather pay the price, whatever it may be, so long as he does not become defiled by the king's food in Babylon. And you know what? That takes courage. If you're going to live a life of integrity to where the world doesn't defile you, you're going to have to walk against the culture. Just by definition, God is not going to allow his people to be and live a defiled life. God has called you to be separated. He said, without holiness, no man will see him. And if you're not willing to live a holy life, you will not walk in the power of God. It wasn't because Daniel had the right name. It's because he had the right heart that God used him. It wasn't because he had his theology all patented and he had it all packaged in a nice pretty box. And, you know, it wasn't because he had the PhD behind his name and all that kind of stuff. It was because he had a pure heart and he didn't want anything to come between him and the God he loved more than anything else. And he said, I cannot defile my. It says he purposed in his heart to not defile himself with that food. And probably everybody else said, what do you mean, Daniel? It's just food. I mean, you're being crazy. You're taking this overboard. It's like how people look at you when they're like, man, you go to prayer meeting every week, or you fast, or you do this, or you do that. They look at you like you're crazy. But when you get that purpose in your heart, you get that burning desire in there, you would rather have God than anything this world can give you. And that's where Daniel got to. He said, you know what? I would rather have a pure heart with God than those awesome, smell-good food at the king's table. How many of you know that was a test? He ate, I think, potatoes and carrots and stuff like that. And everybody else is eating grilled steak. Why? Why would you do something that radical and that crazy? Because he wanted his heart to be pure with God. And again, that can't be taught. You can't teach that. I mean, you can teach about it, but you can't grasp that by teaching. It has to be something you desire. It's the desire of your heart. You either want to be pure in God's eyes, or you kind of want to, but kind of really don't care. And some of us have got that juggling thing down. Some of us have got the religious words and we've got the religious actions and the religious duties down to where it keeps that resemblance up. We've got that firewall, the religious firewall. That's those actions. We've got that. When things get bad, I know what to do. Put an extra 20 in the offering plate, go to Sunday school. That's my firewall. God's not impressed by our firewalls. It's when we no longer have a duplicitous heart, but a single heart. Integrity of heart. Can't purchase it. Got to desire it. And I'm reminded as we come to a close over in James chapter 4, one of the verses that we talk about all the time. We talk about all the time. Draw near to God, right? Draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. You remember that? In James 4? You know what it says after that? Cleanse your hands and your hearts, you double-minded. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What is God talking about? Is when you are drawing near to God, you're going to have to let go of the outward sins, but you're also going to have to let go of the things that cause you to be defiled in the heart. It's the outward and the inward. The outward in the inward. So anytime anybody draws near to God, they're gonna, you can't go to God in a duplicious way. You want to go to God and just clean your hands, but not your heart, you're not gonna get God. It's when you desire God in totality. Lord, not just a little bit of you. I want all of you. I want all of you. He said, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. And notice how he said you double-minded. Isn't it amazing how an impure heart reveals a double-minded person? This is what happened to Solomon. He began to go after the other things. It's not that he didn't know who God was. Don't you? We know. He had a dream about God. He had a vision about God. He spoke with God. When he built the temple, God spoke to him. I mean, God moved miraculously in Solomon's life. It's not that God was no longer in his heart. It's just that he made room for other things too. He didn't say, you know what? I'm moving God out and I'm moving other people in. He just said, God, move over because I'm moving some other folks in with you. And God doesn't play that. He wants the whole heart. And that's why he said, when you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you, but cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. And that's the exact prayer. That's the exact prayer that David prayed here in Psalm 19. That's the exact prayer that he prayed. He's talking about his words. That's the outward. And then the meditation of the heart. That's the inward. And as we do that, God said he'll draw near to us. That integrity is what God's looking for in our life. If you're guided by integrity, you'll walk by faith and not by sight. By necessity. By necessity. Amen. Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that we can come to you, Lord.